Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, helping keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Learn more about the technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology.
Welcome to All About Android, episode 54, recorded on Monday, April 2nd, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Nicole Lee.
You may be wondering where Ron is.
I'm wondering.
He has the week off. He's somewhere. He's in New York.
Yeah, he's being a jerk.
I think he's in Seattle, actually.
He's not here to defend himself. Know. That's right.
He's in the Emerald City.
That's another Comic-Con.
His other job, his iFanboy duties.
But thank you, Nicole, for being here. Nicole, our products producer and a producer for Before You Buy. So
I walked 5 feet.
She did. And we're making you stay another hour and a half. Thank you so much for filling in.
Yeah, thank you.
This week is our big feedback episode. We haven't had one in a while.
Feedback extravaganza.
We're long overdue. So it's all about you and a lot of really good listener feedback and questions and, advice. And we'll dig into that in just a minute. But I wanted to know if anyone downloaded Gmail Tap.
Nope.
You guys know what I'm talking about? Chat, this is a new video. Let's play it.
Speak to each other because whereas with the QWERTY
speaking
keyboard,
is Todd Smith, product lead for Gmail Tap.
Letters, these 26 letters jammed into this 2.5-inch space. Now you just have two buttons.
I would love to know the Morse code for LL Cool J.
Me too. To
Why would you want to know that? That has nothing to do with this video.
You can tap it in the morning. You can tap it in the kitchen. You can tap it at night. You can tap it in the bathroom. On a seesaw.
So obviously, April Fool's joke.
April Fool's.
Did they actually release an app?
There is an app, I think. I did not download it.
Chad,
If you go to the next link there underneath, it's Morse Keyboard is the app.
But that's not the Google app.
Well, it looks like it. The one that they were playing with.
Oh, it is. Look at that.
Yeah. And for those of you listening in audio, Google released a video, many videos for April Fool's Day. The one that related to our show is this one about Gmail Tap, which is an app that, obviously the keyboard is just too much, right? Regular QWERTY keyboard is just too much to deal with.
Sure.
So Gmail Tap is great because it's Morse code. And their product lead was supposedly Todd Smith, a.k.a. LL Cool J, who was in that video. I have not downloaded this. I don't know if anybody has, but it has 193 5-star ratings. So what could be wrong with that app, right?
Yeah, it's too bad it's not actually
Gmail Tap. They didn't change
Gmail
it.
Tap,
they just kind of used it, not, I guess.
I love that there are like actual user reviews for that thing. That's hilarious.
It's brilliant. Very fun.
It's not the worst idea in the world, to be completely honest. I mean, I would never use it. I'm sure most people would never use it to tap out.
Sort of alternate keyboards that rely on shortcut tapping, which is not exactly like this, of course. But
all right, fine. I'm going to put it on my phone right now and learn Morse code. Done.
If they have, there is a keyboard that you can get that's the emulation of the old graffiti.
Way
of writing. So, I don't see why this couldn't be a serious April Fool's joke. You know what I mean? It's like April Fool's. But here, have the app anyways. I don't know.
Anyways.
I think it's not the worst one in the world. I'm just not.
Ever.
It wasn't that bad. I love that whole thing with LL Cool J. So anyways, let's move on to, feedback. And this is a listener suggestion from Chris Waters, who says he enjoys the show. It's the very first podcast he listens to each week. Thank you very much. I listen using Dogcatcher on Galaxy Nexus CDMA. I purchased the Galaxy Nexus CDMA the day it was finally released. A few episodes ago, I recall you're responding to, I believe, a listener's complaint regarding how notification sounds interfere with apps that provide audio playback. Very annoying, including apps like Google Music, podcast players, etc. As we know, notification sounds cause audio playback to be muted until the notification sound ends, resulting in not hearing some of the audio slash voice. Of course, you can always press the back X seconds button, which is standard on most players, but that's a pain and certainly not automobile driver friendly. I'm surprised that you didn't mention how the Audible client handles this. It senses notification sounds and then somehow automatically resumes playback at about 1 second prior to the notification sounds, so no content is missed. I'm not sure if there is an Android API for this or if the Audible developers came up with the technique on their own. In any case, I wish all the players would at least offer this excellent feature. FYI, for apps other than Audible, the solution I've come up with is to create a profile within the excellent Phone Weaver app to change notification sound to silent. I use this profile whenever I'm listening to audio. By the way, Phone Weaver is an excellent app. I find it easier to use than Tasker, and the authors are very responsive. They even had an ICS-compatible version out the day I purchased my Galaxy Nexus.
That's cool.
Thank you, everybody out there who's sending in suggestions. I just downloaded this app myself, and I am very annoyed by, you know, missing, you know, or have being interrupted while I'm listening to whatever content I'm listening to. So thank you very much. Chris, this is a great suggestion.
Yeah, it's too bad there isn't a way in the settings, like an ice cream sandwich, to be able to tell it what you want it to do. I know that I've had ROMs installed on my phone in the past. CyanogenMod, I believe 7, might have in the settings where you can actually tell it how you want it to handle. Do you want it to just play the notification sound over the top of what you're listening to? It ends up being kind of hard to hear at that point, but you know, you can do that, or you can have it duck, or you can have it stop and then resume play.
Tom Weber says that BeyondPod handles notifications the same way, so you don't miss anything. And JC in the chat room says the developer can control how the app behaves when other sounds occur. So it's up to the developer, but you can also use Phone Weaver apparently. So there you go. Excellent.
Awesome.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. The next feedback comes from John, and he says, "Hi, folks. The discussion on this week's episode about the ICS update for the Galaxy S2 struck a nerve that I was hoping you had some insights on. While I'm sure that no one watching All About Android would actually choose OEM skins like TouchWiz over stock Android, we are in the minority. It makes perfect sense that manufacturers wouldn't want to shock the majority of their users by dropping their custom skins. My question is, why on earth don't they include an option to turn the customizations off? It seems like it should be a simple way to please the power users along with the simpletons. What gives?"
Thought this might be a good one for you. Since you've dealt with so many phones over the years.
So many overlays.
You know, I guess the Samsung's rationale and HTC's rationale is they want to stand out, right? Mm-hmm. That's basically their whether or not it's valid or not, their rationale is they want to stand out from all the other Android phones in the crowd because there are so many of them, so they want to stand out with a different UI and different feel. And to give them some credit, you know, HTC Sense is pretty good as far as Android skins go. And that, I mean, the only problem, as we've mentioned all this time, is that it's harder to update, right? It's longer to update, and they'll take a long time. For example, the whole TouchWiz issue with the ICS update looks completely different because it's TouchWiz. And, you know, I'm with you, John. Like, I wish they would have a way to turn it off. But I think as long as we give the companies full reign over what to do with Android, I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, again, you can overlay a different launcher to get rid of that look.
My answer would be, if you're a power user, then you would know how to root it.
You would
get around that. Yeah, right. I guess he puts it, the simpletons, are actually maybe more represented by the majority of people that are getting Android phones that might not really care that much. You know what I mean? They're probably finding exactly what they need out of these overlays and don't really care enough to look beyond that to say, well, what is vanilla Android, you know, and what am I missing? Because HTC Sense, and all of those overlays are targeting a very specific broad range of people that are, want that extra social functionality.
The only downside to that is that if I have an Android phone and I know that you have an Android phone, say, hey, what is that? I've never seen that before. And it's a thing only you have that I don't have. I'm like, oh, why don't I have that? I have an Android phone too. Like, there's this whole thing of like, we both have Android, but it's a different
But they're completely different. Yeah. Nice. You know, they'd be kind of shooting themselves in the foot if they gave everyone the ability to turn it off. But then at the same time, would they really? Because if, as he puts it, the simpletons, you know, are the majority of people and they don't care, then maybe the majority of people aren't turning it off and they're still getting it. But I think if they're putting out the hardware the way they want to, then they're going to make sure that you have their customizations because that's their signature.
That's what open source means. Like if Google wanted it to be this controlled environment, they would have gone the Microsoft route, you know, like,
exactly,
you know, specifications and all that, and they don't. Mm-hmm. So
right. Well, kind of following in the footsteps of that last email, speaking of ice cream sandwich updates and that sort of stuff, FaZe Imam, I'm totally slaughtering that name, I'm pretty sure, wrote in to say, I found the source for all known info on when every manufacturer will release their updates. It's a PocketLint link. He says, basically, most devices will be up to date in the next couple of months, and every device that you will get an update will do so by September. The article seems to be continually updated, which makes it a useful reference. And if you kind of go diving through this article, you can kind of see on an ongoing basis, there's all of these updates for each manufacturer and the phones that have kind of been promised and everything. So it's a good basic source to find out kind of whether your phone or the phone that you're interested in is going to be upgraded to Ice Cream Sandwich, and if so, when? Because it's really hard to kind of follow all this news and really get a sense of that as we go along.
That's a great link.
So that's possibly a good way to do it. Just search for Android 4.0 Ice Cream Sandwich, Pocket Lint at Google or something. You'll probably find it at the top of your list. But there's a lot of information there, and I thought that was a really good link to share. But speaking kind of along those lines, there has been a little bit of news, and, you know, today's kind of more of a feedback episode than anything, but thought we could throw in a few bits of news if they relate to the things that we're talking about. One being Motorola Droid Razr Max supposedly being upgraded to Ice Cream Sandwich April 4th. Yay. This is based on a kind of a Best Buy website screenshot leak, but confirmed by other sources as well. We still have not heard anything official about this, but I'm very curious to kind of see how folks who have those devices feel about them once the Ice Cream Sandwich update happens, and to kind of see what that, you know, Motorola Ice Cream Sandwich really ends up landing.
Right. Yeah. Whether or not the Motorola skin will have affected as much.
Yeah. I saw some early screens of it, and it looked decent, actually, as far as they're concerned. But
better
you
than
never
the
know.
Touch Whiz.
Yeah, you never really know, right? Yeah. Samsung Galaxy S2, we talked a while back about a value pack upgrades. Was that for the S or the S2 initially?
The value pack that they were opting to not.
Oh, okay. So the S, they weren't going to upgrade it to Ice Cream Sandwich, but they were going to give you a value pack with Ice Cream Sandwich like
features.
Consolation
prize. Yeah.
Right. And this is more the S getting those Ice Cream Sandwich like value pack upgrades officially released in Korea. So I suppose that means maybe coming sometime very soon, if you even still care about it. That kind of seems like a slap in the face to me personally.
But wouldn't the contracts be up?
Was that
the people with the Samsung Galaxy S? Aren't your contracts up soon?
Yeah,
upgrade,
totally.
Hopefully,
you know, they could be rooting and throwing their own
that too.
And finally, Samsung is reportedly tweaking Face Unlock to require blinking. This is an interesting little tweak.
Because how long can you hold that phone in front of your face till you need to blink? Right,
it's a staring contest.
Yeah, it's like
staring contest,
and maybe that just goes along with how long it takes for the phone to recognize your face.
So is
maybe
that
if your phone has like really slow, it's a really slow processing.
But this phone. Well, yeah, I guess so. You're talking like other phones.
Like a slow. I don't know if it makes sense.
And this is to try and get around people using a photo to break into phones. At least this way,
maybe.
If it's blinking, then it's real. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
It's still not like the most perfect security system.
No. But actually, now that I think about it, it's better than just allowing a photo get
get
you into bypass the security. So I guess we'll see if that ends up rolling into other products
so
as well.
That is so weird.
There we go.
All right. You know what? Before we move on, I just wanted to mention Clay Chapman had just pinged me on Twitter and just said that he doesn't know if we know about it, but his Verizon pushed him to get a free Razr Max because he's a high data user. He has unlimited data on his plan, but they said they wanted to give him a get him on 4G, so they just gave him a free Razer Max because he was a high data user. Isn't that weird?
Strange.
Yeah. Says the rep told him that they are trying to move the high data users onto the 4G network, but he found out about it by accident. So,
by high data user, does he mean he consumes a lot of
that's what I'm assuming.
So 4G would only enable him to consume even more.
So here's your new phone. And that's what I was wondering, is his data going to go up? And he says he has unlimited, average about 6 gigs.
Yeah, because 4G, as far as I know, there is no unlimited 4G plan.
And he says he hasn't experienced any.
I'm grandfathered in. If you've been with Verizon for, you know, a few years, you are likely grandfathered into their unlimited plan.
Right, right. Oh, that's interesting.
That's an interesting way to go.
Yeah, that sort of
seems like
hey,
they're encouraging him
us.
To use even more data.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. So he's like, hey, by the way, let me give you the new, you know, Razer Max, which that's a great phone. So
we don't think you're using enough data.
I know. Clay, keep us up to date on your bill and your throttle. He says he hasn't experienced throttling yet. But just keep us up to date. I thought that was interesting. He pinged me today.
That is very interesting.
Okay. Next email comes from Risa. Yes, Risa. First off, I absolutely love your show. Keep up the great work. My question is for Eileen. Now that you've rooted your phone, are you thinking about rooting your Kindle Fire? I want to do it for the sole purpose of getting Draw Something on it, which is not in the Amazon App Store.
Good point.
My second question is, if I don't root my Fire, is there a good calendar? Oh, I didn't answer your calendar. I'll get back to you on the calendar. Thank you so much, Risa. On a funny side note, the word Google is not in the Kindle Fire dictionary. You know, I'm kind of getting bored with my Kindle Fire, and now that I have rooted my phone, now I'm like, oh, here we go. Maybe I'll root my Kindle Fire. But before you do that, I just wanted to let you know that you can go to the website onemobile.com.
The number one mobile.com.
I don't know if you can go there really quick, Chad, and just do a search for Draw Something Free and use your Silk browser on your Kindle Fire. Just hit download now and you'll see it, the APK come in. Download it and boom, Draw Something works on your Kindle Fire. And it has been working for me. And has not messed up once I move over to a different device or whatnot. I've been playing using Draw Something on my Kindle Fire now. You actually helped me figure out how to put it on my Kindle Fire as well. So there you go.
The trick here being the Draw Something is not available through the Amazon
App Store. Yes, that's correct. It's not available yet on the Amazon App Store. So she's just like, where can I play this? So you can do it and make sure that you have that checked on your settings, that unknown sources. Let's see if I can go there right now. If I go into more.
It's on the
close up. See if I can find, I forget exactly where it is. Oops. Sorry, everybody who's listening to the video. But you know the section there where it's sort of like running applications. I haven't gone there in so long. The section where it's like, you can sideload basically.
Oh, the unknown sources, a checkoff, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really too familiar with the
install from unknown sources.
Yes, install from unknown sources. That's what I'm looking for, actually. Sorry, guys.
In applications.
Allow installation of applications. Here we go. Under device, allow installation of applications. Click that on, and then you can download and you can sideload apps onto your Kindle Fire. So, Risa, I owe you a good calendar app that syncs with Google Calendar. That'll be next on my list. Maybe I'll just answer that for you next week. But there you go. Draw Something, onemobile.com. You know, interestingly enough, I looked on GetJar, which is one of, we've talked about GetJar on the show before, and I saw it on there, and I was able to draw something via GetJar on my phone, but then when I tried to use it on the mobile Silk browser on the Kindle Fire didn't show up. So they must be not for tablets. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. So I would have said GetJar.
Meanwhile, it's such a great tablet game.
I know. So onemobile.com. I'm glad you can play. You don't have to root. But we'll continue our discussion on rooting the Kindle Fire. I'm kind of there. I might want to because I don't have a tablet. I don't have an Android tablet right now.
And have you been using your Kindle Fire a whole lot?
Not really. Just to watch some videos here and there. So I figure maybe if I put Honeycomb on this, I might use it a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know? So
Or ICS.
Yeah, we'll see. Sure. So
if there's an ICS build for it, they're very well made. I haven't followed that. Eric writes in and says, I'm having a connectivity issue on my Thunderbolt with the handoff between Wi-Fi and mobile network. I'll explain what I mean. For example, when I leave my driveway, I'm still on my home's Wi-Fi. As I drive down the street a bit, the Wi-Fi connection drops out, and then it takes a while before the mobile network connection goes live. So if I try to do anything that requires a network connection, it doesn't work. The mobile network was there all along, so if I had just had Wi-Fi turned off, there would be no period of no connectivity. It's just in the handoff between the two. This also happens when I walk around the local college campus. Each building has Wi-Fi that reaches the immediate area outside the building. As I walk by, my phone picks up the Wi-Fi signal, turns off mobile network, and then drops the Wi-Fi and has to turn mobile network back on. And he goes on to kind of give a little bit more details as far as his problem, but you kind of get the gist there. Short answer, I don't know of any way to keep mobile data active along with Wi-Fi. It's something that he asks about in here, if it's possible to just keep them both active. I don't know if it's necessarily possible. I feel like I've reviewed some phones that seem to keep both of the logos on in the notification bar, which led me to believe that they were both active, but I'm not really quite sure if they were.
It doesn't necessarily work that way if you have something running. For example, like if you have a like RDO on Wi-Fi and you move away from the Wi-Fi spot to switch to 3G or whatever, the RDO thing will stop.
Right.
And you have to like start it again to like for RDO will know.
To jump onto the other network.
You're no longer on Wi-Fi and you'll like get onto the Verizon or Sprint or whatever it is. So I don't know if that's... I mean, there's another thing called... T-Mobile had a technology called UMA, which is unlicensed mobile access. It's called UMA. Anyway, basically, this technology let you make calls over Wi-Fi, and as you move away from a Wi-Fi spot, it will automatically switch from Wi-Fi to just regular mobile network.
So maybe T-Mobile.
How would
phones?
It do that seamlessly?
Because of this particular technology that they had, but that's very specific to voice calls, though. It's not data. So it's,
right.
I don't know.
Well, and also it kind of seems, and I actually did post a question about this on my Google Plus page, so you can check it out at my profile. And, you know, a lot of people kind of pointed out the aspect of if you have your mobile data as well as your Wi-Fi active, you're going to deplete a lot of battery. Andrew Martinick on Google Plus did say you probably could force data to stay connected while on Wi-Fi, but it would severely hurt that battery life. The whole idea of being on Wi-Fi is that it automatically disables the data network connection. Having both active would hurt, not to mention that wouldn't even solve the problem if the device is still trying to prioritize data over Wi-Fi, even though it's not connected. And then a lot of people kind of pointed out what I had thought when I read this email, which is that this is kind of like one of the better uses of apps like Tasker and Locale. And then, of course, the one that you talked about at the first email. Those kind of location-based aware apps that allow you to kind of program kind of these rules, not necessarily because it would fix this problem, but you could program it to time the switchover better than it is, so that maybe you can tell it don't activate Wi-Fi unless I'm actually in the place on campus that the Wi-Fi is offered, as opposed to walking along outside and being really close to it, so it kind of confuses it.
All right,
things like that. So check those out. That might be one way to kind of take care of that problem.
Cool.
All right, Nicole, you're up.
All right, so. Hold on, let me find it. Hey there, AAA crew. I'm on the lookout for an app with a specific feature, and so far I'm at a loss. So I wanted to see if any of you had come across something like this. I've used a few to-do list apps over the past couple of years, but I have a problem in that I tend to ignore my lists over time. I know how that feels. I know that I should just be more disciplined about using the app, but, well, I'm lazy, and I want to make sure make my phone force me to look at my to-do list. So I like a to-do app that I can set a list to be the wallpaper of my lock screen so that I can see it every time I unlock the phone. This would be useful for looking at a list such as a grocery list and so forth. From Gavin from Richmond. And I guess there are a few suggestions here that you guys put in the little doc. Widget Locker is one of them.
Yeah, well, Widget Locker is kind of a way to embed widgets into your lock screen.
Yeah,
so
essentially.
You know, it really just kind of sounds like this is one great way to go, and then you can possibly,
that's a great idea.
You know,
Yeah, so using Widget Locker and then add it to your lock screen and then use Taskos. You can, from what I understand, Taskos and Astrid and ColorNote all work well using Widget Locker. I didn't know if AnyDo does.
I don't know if AnyDo works specifically with Widget Locker well, but I mean, I know that it has a number of widgets, so, you know. I don't know Widget Locker well enough to know if it's pretty compatible with most widgets, or not. And if it is, then AnyDo would probably work as well.
Right, right. But, so hopefully this helps, Gavin. You know, let us know if you have any trouble. But hopefully this will help you.
Wouldn't be a horrible kind of suggestion for developers of to-do apps, of which there are a ton, and they're all kind of seeking to differentiate themselves from each other.
Right.
Add some sort of a feature that allows you to kind of overlay, you know, your top two tasks of the day into the lock screen.
Yeah, that'd
give
be
you
great.
An edge. So task developers, you know, maybe that's an idea for you. Let's go ahead and take a very quick break. We want to thank our sponsor today. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring available voice-activated Sync App Link. Sync App Link actually enables you to control select mobile apps from your smartphone with simple voice commands that helps you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. You can do things like voice control apps from Pandora, Stitcher, OpenBeak, Slacker Radio, iHeartRadio, all those apps work directly with App Link. You can take advantage of new apps and features, things like Sync Destinations, which gets you navigation and directions through your compatible smartphone, NPR for all of NPR's fantastic content, all that type of stuff. You can, you know, iHeartRadio has a ThumbPlay service that with the voice commands, you can find saved stations, skip to the next song, give songs that you're listening to thumbs up, things like that. It's built on an API platform enabling Ford and app developers to bring in-vehicle voice control to more apps without you having to update the App Link software in the vehicle. Now, Ford has a Sync mobile application developer network that enables developers to contact Ford with their app ideas. And that allows Ford to bring them to you faster. So that's pretty sweet. You can expect to see more Sync-enabled mobile apps that can go along for the ride in your Ford vehicles. Learn more about Sync App Link and other technologies at Ford.com/technology. And we thank you, Ford, for your support of the Twit Network and All About Android.
Can I just mention, thank you, Ford. Thank you.
You're great.
Can I just mention, so I do have Morse keyboard on here.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, man, I need to turn my brightness down. Okay, I'll just, but it's very ICS ready. Look at that.
There's a whole alphabet right here.
That's very helpful. There's the expert mode, you know.
You can type two letters at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Multitasking.
Oh, I've been meaning to. Oh, look at that.
A shimmering global phenomenon. Wow, you are a fast learner, Eileen.
You are really, really good.
Am I not so good at Morse?
And it's fake. See, why? But why? Why not? Why couldn't it have been real?
I know,
that's what I mean.
Right?
Like
it was totally fake. It was a great April Fool's. I know.
But it could have been backed up with an app that actually does it, because it's not that hard. I wouldn't think.
That's what I was thinking too. But
yeah, it's strange.
You know.
Totally fake.
All right. So fake. All right. Now, this next email comes from Craig Hugert. It says, hello again. I sent a question earlier about how to do a lock screen that told people how to return your phone but use a pin to lock. Oh, actually, this is a listener tip, by the way. Anyways, that told people how to return your phone but use a pin to unlock. So I have found a solution and wanted to pass it along. First, I use Go Launcher and found Go Locker that works well with it. They're both Go brands, should work very well together. Then I use Pixay to add a caption to a picture. This caption gives someone a phone number to call, my emergency contact number, to return my phone. Since Go Locker supports a pin, I am good to go. The message on the lock screen covers that average person who may return your phone, and the pin covers those people you want to keep out of your phone. So there you go. He found a listener tip on the lock screen. So keep out, and you know, it's kind of like having a luggage tag, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Yeah,
I know.
I guess so. Your phone number, but
this
have
is
it
my
on your
phone, not yours.
I keep fluctuating though on using a lock screen and not using a lock screen. I know that I should. I know that I totally should, but
the
somehow
pimp, 2 weeks ago we talked about that pimp who
I know.
use the lock screen. Oh, and it worked to his benefit. I know I haven't either, honestly.
I will activate it, and then I'll go like a couple of weeks and be like, yes, I'm doing the right thing. If I lose my phone, and then somehow I wake up in the morning and I've deactivated it and I'm okay with it. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but I can't keep using a lock screen for some reason.
Okay, next up. Hi, all. Like Eileen, I've been looking for that just right 7-inch tablet form factor, but at a reasonable price without giving up too much functionality. Right now, I think the Galaxy Tab 7 Plus is that tablet. I think I have it right here, actually. Now that it's $300 at Best Buy, not sure how long ago this happened, for $50 more than the Nook, you get the full Android market and access to all the e-reader apps, allowing me to still use all the apps on my phone that I may have purchased. You also get a version number of Android higher than the majority of phones on the market, and the difference from Honeycomb to ICS is much easier to stomach than if it were Gingerbread. As a bonus, it also has an IR blaster for some neat super remote functionality, which shows off nicely. All in all, I think this tablet on the high end of the low-end Android tablets out there, nice for the power user demanding a little bit more. So if you're bummed about the 7.7 pricing like I was, consider this 7 Plus. It's a little older than some of the other tablets out there, but it feels like a new product entirely because of the new price point.
Oh, so it's not this
from
one.
Con. Not this
no,
one.
No, it's
not
this
one.
Sorry.
It's the 7
it's
Plus.
The other oh, God, there's so many.
I know. I was confused too, actually. There's not, so this many. This is the 7.7 with the AMOLED Plus
right.
display.
Yeah.
This is the one before this, I guess.
Yeah, the one before that before is this. The one that Con is suggesting you get for $300. That's pretty cheap, yeah. And I
That's
was
pretty good price.
And I knocked this tab down, the one that you have in your hand, mm-hmm. the 7.7,
well, the
because of
yeah.
the price.
It was like $600, something like that, right?
Well, yeah, $700 without a contract, and then $500 with the with the 2-year contract,
yeah,
which I thought was just over the top.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I haven't tried that 7-inch or the Tab Plus, mm-hmm. but you know, just another suggestion.
It's similar to the Tab from
the original Tab.
Yeah,
yeah,
a little bit similar to that.
Well, good. Thank you for that suggestion, Con. And there's related news.
Yes, related news. Wall Street Journal reports that Google is to open an online store this year, and that they will sell tablets independently of retailers. A little bit of flashback to the Nexus phone, a little bit.
The original, yeah.
Yeah, because Google, you know, they don't really sell their devices, but this time they are. Kind of an interesting tactic there. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah,
that's the rumor, yeah. There's so many rumors going around. I know.
Especially about this whole, you know,
the Google tablet
right. thing. So,
right.
You know, but they're coming from very, you know, they're not coming by, you know,
sure.
flash in the pan places. Wall Street Journal reporting this one in particular. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? Is this kind of like a return to something that didn't work the first time? I kind of feel like it's a little different because
there
isn't the carrier
right.
requirement there that kind of throws a wrinkle into the situation.
It's completely different because of the carrier requirement. Because right. some of these tablets may be like Wi-Fi only and they
yeah.
don't have the carrier requirements. I know, for example, Toshiba, I believe their tablet's coming up. And the one they have right now, it's Wi-Fi only. They don't even have a carrier like partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be perfect for Google to sell them because there's no like Verizon breathing down their necks. You know?
Yeah. I guess the question is, if Google sold them,
right.
would they be able to sell them better than they were before?
That's a good question.
You know, just having just selling their wares online, but which I mean, for me, that doesn't really matter a whole lot. I buy so much of my stuff online, anyways.
Yeah,
I'm sure we all do, but
the
awareness is a little less.
To
you
me,
know?
An online store is great, and I think that's an amazing idea. But to me, the important thing is to get it in person, like an actual physical store,
some way to sample it.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe like a pop-up store in a mall or something, just to have people like go in there and touch it and sort of have the fingers on it.
There's going to be a lot of people unfamiliar, and then supposedly there are going to be very, you know, like Asus would be a partner, Samsung and HTC.
Right.
So all of the different hardware manufacturers will be involved, and then you could get kind of confused. And I think a lot of, you know, they're probably going to be shaped a little bit different, maybe have some grip pad on some and the others not. So you might want to find out. Like you know which one
you
works
might
for
find
you the
out.
Best.
You know, like for example, like when Leo shot his Live with Kelly appearance a few months ago, we had to tell him like the because they were all off. Mm-hmm. Sort of the lock screens were all like in standby mode. He didn't. And the screen lock button was different on all the different tablets. Oh. Like some were on top, some were on the side, some were on the bottom. It was just like confusing. It was really confusing after a while.
And you know, everybody, you know, that's the beauty of Android is that we
can get the size
that we want. So. I mean, what if one is a 7.7 versus a 7 versus an 8 versus, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody
7,
has...
7.7, 10.1,
everybody
10,
has
9,
their preference
8,
and reason why it works for
you. Just hearing a bunch of numbers.
I know. Sorry. I'm confused, too. So, and then... And
is
then
it a phone?
There are all these rumors that they're just going to sell it from the Play Store, and which would make sense because that's where everything is being driven now. There's even a little tab on your Google So I think, you know, we'll find out more. Google I.O. is just a couple months
away. I was just about
to
say, I'm sure many answers will be given.
Exactly.
At least I hope so. I think that's what everybody's optimistic for, is to find out more information at Google I.O. about that specifically.
I mean, I think one big thing is I hope the price point is $249 or below.
Oh,
that is
absolutely
the only way they're going to be able to compete with the granddaddy tablet out there, is by, you know, having a cheap tablet. I mean, that's the way the Kindle Fire has been blowing up in their own universe, because it's so cheap and affordable. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's the real pricing. And
I mean, you know, it has to be affordable and good.
Yeah.
It can be.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Well, so. I mean, and Google obviously has something really good in the fact that when you're talking about ecosystem, you know, that $250 is going up against mainly, I mean, there is the Nook, but mainly the Amazon Kindle.
Yeah.
And the reason the Kindle's strong is because of the ecosystem.
Right.
You put the Google ecosystem in there for the same price, and solid ASUS tablet technology, and you've probably got a win there, at least to a large degree.
Yep.
Let's see here. We have an email. Oh, of course I did it. I left out his name somehow. Maybe I'll dig that up here, but I'll just start reading it. I want to support the app developers of this amazing Android ecosystem by giving them as much of my hard-earned cash as I can. But something I have always wondered is, which is the best way to support them? Is that paid app or free ad-based apps? My own opinion is that while I can buy an app for $1.99 or whatever the value is, the dev would make more money over time if I use his app regularly with an ad on display. I'll take the Twitter app Plume as an example. I've used Plume for over 2 years now. The paid version would have cost me $3 or so, and the dev would see about $2.50 of that if I keep viewing the ads on the free version. This has to mount up to more income for the developer over that period of time that I used it for. Am I right in thinking this, or will the developer be better off with me buying the app outright? Looking forward to hearing your response on this. I think this really depends on kind of the perspective that you look at it, and also the app in question. I did go to Google Plus with this one because I was curious to hear from some developers and some developers chimed in there. But one post from Andrew Kameka from Andronica.com, he actually posted on there and said, I've asked developers this question. They say that ads aren't very lucrative unless your game really catches on and remains something that people actively come back to. An app with 1,000 users that's ad supported won't match up to the money earned from selling 1,000 copies of a $2.99 app. But if you get into the tens of thousands, you get a very solid revenue stream that lasts. Then you have to consider the ad type. Yes, ads make perfect sense for a Twitter app like Plume that's constantly getting used and doesn't completely ruin the experience. But that might not be true for the game where the ad pops up and does ruin it. Angry Birds being the exception to the rule, because people will tolerate it because it's Angry Birds.
Right. Yeah, I think... I mean, it will obviously be different from user to user and from app to app, obviously. But my general rule of thumb is that if I like the app, I'll pay money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the ad version, you know, will make the developer more money over time, I just feel like that's my vote of confidence.
Yeah,
like, I love your app so much, I'm going to give $3 of my own money to you. And that I think is a very valuable thing from a developer, saying, oh, this person actually gave money to me. Like, it's a vote of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of see it both ways. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, some apps, the ads are not that intrusive. So you could probably live with that. But my general rule of thumb is that if I like it, I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Normally, too, you'll get a free app, and then you can try it out. Yeah. And then that's when I, you know, if I really like
you really like it,
I'm like, okay, you get my $3.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Triple Town, you got my $2. I'm still playing.
I feel like every app these days is getting my $2 or $3. I am like addicted to buying apps right now. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I like I'll read something and be like, that sounds like a great app, and then I'll use it for 2 seconds and be like, I'm going to buy it. And I don't because I think that it's going to and it does. Yeah, it comes up on the show eventually, so it's kind of like this is how I'm arming my battalion for the arena. So just beware. Beware.
He's got a foreshadowing battalion already.
I've got a fortress that I'm building up right now. It's hard. Anyway, so yes, you could go on either side. Use your judgment. I totally agree though. If I use an app and I love it, I would rather they have my money outright. Like you said, it's a vote of confidence. I think that's a perfect way to put it. All right.
And
Nicole,
next up, we have a video mail from Jason Bayless regarding USB compatibility on the Transformer Prime.
Hey, first of all, let me start off by saying that I really love your show, and I want to thank you for taking the time to addressing my question. Let me give you some background. I run a series of podcasts, and I enjoy interviewing the people, talking to people, finding out, you know, just their stories, their histories, whatever. I constantly have a microphone in my hand wherever I go. I try to record people as much as possible. Recently, back in January, I picked up the ASUS Transformer Prime. I absolutely love it. I take it everywhere I go. So now I have the digital recorder in one hand and my tablet in the other. So my backpack is getting bigger and heavier with all the electronic equipment that I have. So my question is to you, since the Transformer Prime has the USB port in it, if I could actually hook up a USB microphone to this to get it to work as an independent microphone instead of using the built-in mic. I've tried this and I cannot get it to switch, and I have looked for apps and I can't find an app. So I'm reaching out to you to see if you have an answer for me. So can I use a USB mic on the Transformer Prime? Thank you.
My immediate reaction was like, of course, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
You know, it's very possible that you can and just have not figured out a way. I did a lot of searching, as it sounds like you did as well, online. And what I kind of walked away with was kind of the general understanding that USB 2.0 port on the Transformer Prime is really good at common things like mice, keyboard, removable storage, stuff like that. But when you're talking about something like a USB microphone, like a Yeti mic or something along those lines, I think then you get into kind of the territory of requiring drivers of some sort to be built to kind of convert that.
It also requires more power generally, like those kinds of devices.
Yeah, like I found a few forums, and there was one in particular where someone said, you know, I have a Yeti mic and I plugged it in to try and do it, and it actually did power it a little bit, but it, you know, so it actually sent power to the microphone, not as much as they would normally see, but it never actually sent that audio back into the Transformer Prime without any way inside the OS to say, don't capture audio from the mic built into the tablet, capture it from this external device. Without any way of really telling it that, I think you're kind of out of luck unless the manufacturer of the microphone creates some sort of a driver or an app that can be like a translation driver for that microphone. So I don't know if the answer is necessarily yes, but that's not to say that there isn't some way to do it. And I would love to hear from fans of the show. If you've been able to do something like this, email us at aaa@twit.tv.
I feel like a way to do it, I don't know, I mean, it's probably a proprietary ASUS technology, would be to go via the docking. We go through the docking. And like, you know how it docks into the keyboard? We could find a way to access that docking port.
You mean the docking port directly into the tablet or taking the USB out of the dock itself?
Well, both. I don't know. Depending on how you can think about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what he's trying to do is use the USB port in the dock.
And that's not getting as much juice.
I don't know enough about the Transformer Prime and how it actually docks into the dock to know whether you can actually tap into that same port on just the tablet alone.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the chat room and I'm waiting for somebody to come up with a brilliant idea. Yes.
It makes a whole lot of sense actually for things like video conferencing. Yeah. It would be really useful to be able to plug in a USB headset.
Right. I mean, in the chat room, they're basically saying, like, you know, doesn't need to have a headphone mic combo jack. Sure, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an actual, like, high quality USB connection.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I don't know.
And that's a good question. I'm guessing until the creator of the mic creates some sort of driver, or even a third party, I guess, could create a driver that makes it work.
But, yeah, let's try and figure it out, everybody. I want to figure this out.
Let's make it work.
Let's make it work.
So,
right?
Jason, I'm sorry, I don't know if we have a good answer for you, but that would be cool.
All right, moving on to Marius, who says, "Hey, AAA gang, I'd like to route my Nexus S for reverse tethering using the computer's connection." Oh, you might want my app later. "I'm a bit worried about your discussion about security, though. Is there a way to root the phone but only give root access to a single app? Thanks a lot. Your show is very fun and interesting." Marius, you're the root guy. I just rooted my phone, so super user, right?
And only give root access to a single app. Well, okay, so root super user, in my understanding, is how you grant access to particular apps that are requesting root access. That doesn't necessarily take away from the fact that your phone is at its core already rooted. So there is a certain level of insecurity to it that super user, I'm not guessing, necessarily has direct ability to prevent someone from tapping into. And I think that's kind of at the core of what people who are not necessarily anti-root, but people who don't condone it say, which is that, you know, you're breaking the security model of your phone when you root. You're opening it up, and there are ways to get around those things. I don't know firsthand if super user is 100% the only way into accessing the root level on your phone. I know that's what it aims to do.
Right.
I have to imagine there's maybe other ways, and that's why it's insecure.
And we were very clear last time, like, hey, we did talk about the security issue while talking about rooting your phone for that very purpose. So yes. I think, you know, it's just the warning comes up, like, hey, warning, if you root your phone,
it kind of goes along those lines too of that. And we've talked about this many times on the show, which is like, if you're getting, you know, if you're getting pirated apps from some sort of a torrent site, or if you're, you know, going to some random site and installing APKs and unchecking the unknown sources, like, you have to be really confident that you know exactly what you're doing with your phone. And I think the same kind of caution can be applied to, you know, when you root your phone and open it up. You have to be extra careful and extra kind of aware of the things that you're doing with your phone, because if you aren't, then you run even more of a risk of someone getting in there that you don't want in there, doing something that you don't want. So there is that.
Be careful.
Yes, exactly. It's a crazy internet out there. It's a crazy phone world. John writes in and says, "Some intrepid folks at the XDA forums took the international SGS2 ROM and got it to work with the AT&T SGS2 phone, which I have. I installed the ROM on my phone today, and I am loving it. Of course, the launcher is not the stock ice cream sandwich launcher, but one that tries its best to emulate it. From what I've read, there are currently three such projects: Nova Launcher, Trebuchet, I believe, someone's going to correct me, and that's done by the CyanogenMod guys, and the one which came with my ROM, which is Apex. I've installed all of them and have been toying around with them. They're all pretty slick. I was wondering if you guys or the listeners had some strong opinions on as to which one is best." So first of all, he named the three, I think, biggies as far as ice cream sandwich launches are concerned right now. I'm sure there are others that we missed, but these are the three that I continually hear about, aside, of course, from stock. And I went to GoPollGo to just put it out and see what people thought. I thought that was a quick way to do it. bit.ly/ICS launcher poll. And you can still weigh in, but at the point of the recording of this show, looks like Nova Launcher is at 54%, Apex second place with 30%. I also asked people to put in the comments why they liked each, and no one really listened to me there. There's like two comments. That was the point, was like, why do you like this versus the other? I think there are three very strong launchers, and, you know, Trebuchet is a little bit different. You can't get it through the Play Store. You have to actually get it right now, I think, off of XDA. Apex and Nova Launcher are both available on the Play Store and can be installed. Apex is completely free and has a ton of really great features that actually you have to pay for some of those features on the Nova Launcher side. But I'm not going to get into Nova Launcher very much because it was my plan to talk about it in a particular segment that we have coming up.
In a later segment?
Yes, in a few minutes.
I'm very excited because... I don't know if I think this just happened this past week. Did I not talk about the fact that I put CM9 on my on my phone last week? Did I talk about that?
You had CM7. So you put on 9.
I put 9 on my phone. So here it is. I'm super excited. Now I get to live with the 1%. And I did put Google Chrome. I'm not jealous anymore, Jason.
You're loving it, I have to imagine. Chrome is great.
You know, there's another Twitter app called Boyd that I've been playing with that's only for ICS. So, I'm very curious to check out those other launchers. And I have to say, I didn't have Dale's help on this. I flashed it on my own.
You're on your own.
It's a nightly, and I have not gone back to update for it's been a week.
That's okay. Well, you know what?
As far as
nightlies go, I mean, if you have a particular build that's strong for you and not buggy, and you have real absolute reason aside from maybe security reasons, which you know, it's probably good to check and see you know what the reasons are. And the more you do it, the more you just want to stay up to date. And you know, you're like, oh, maybe there's one today. I'm going to go check and put it on there. But that's great. That's awesome that you did that.
Google apps work fine. The only thing that is a known issue is the video recording on the camera that doesn't work. And supposedly there's supposed to be a fix soon, if not already, and I just haven't updated. But I'm just having fun kind of exploring. And it's so nice.
You are using, then, the Trebuchet launcher.
I guess that's what it looked like. Right. I was like, wait a minute. What launcher? I think that is
Trebuchet. Is the CM9 launcher.
So, yes, I am using that. That's what you see here on my phone.
Which can also be installed on non-CyanogenMod ROMs. That's why it's its own separate launcher. Yeah. But it is the launcher that CyanogenMod 9 uses.
It's great. Now, I've thrown some widgets. I've downloaded a bunch of stuff. But I love the folders bit. I mean, it's... It's pretty solid,
like stable.
Absolutely.
No spontaneous reboots.
Nope, I haven't had that.
That's good.
So far, so good. So I'll keep you guys updated. But I've been playing around and having fun with the widgets and just kind of exploring. I think I got kind of bored with CM 7.2 just because it was Gingerbread. I'm like, you know what you're missing. I know what I'm missing at this point. I just stepped it up and I just crossed my fingers that it all worked out okay, and it did. It was kind of seamless, actually.
Well, the beauty is you always have your backup.
Yes.
So you could back it up and then you could go to CM9, and if you really needed to go backwards, you could. But sounds like you're liking it. That's great.
I'm really liking CM9. So I'm not going. And then I've gotten lots of really great suggestions from people on G+. Try this ROM. Try this ROM. I'm like, I'm not going to go anywhere yet. I'm going to stay here for a while because this works. I'm just afraid. I've already read all the horror stories. I went from CM9 to this and then tried to go back and my phone crashed and blah blah blah. I've been able to just lots of horror stories. So now that I got something that works that has ICS, I'm just going to kind of keep it for now.
I find that the biggest kind of downside to flashing all of these different ROMs is that you usually end up having to start from square one again. So you flashed a new ROM and now it's like sign in with your Google account for the first time. And it's not that it's hard.
Yeah.
And you know, with certain apps it makes restoring easier, like Titanium Backup, you can restore a bunch of apps, whatever. But it takes a while. You know, it takes sometimes a couple of hours to get it back in the same state that it was in your previous ROM. And when you're flashing a lot of different ROMs a lot of different times, it's a lot of that. I've gotten really used to it. but it still kind of sucks. Starting from square one yet again.
Yeah, I've been sort of living with this for a week. I'm like, well, no, I don't want to have to start over and put all my widgets back and go all that back.
Yeah, it seems to be working just fine.
So I'm pretty happy with this. And thank you everybody for kind of supporting me in this endeavor of moving on, because it's been great. I do want to flash other ROMs, but I'm very hesitant because I got what I got and I'm happy.
Awesome.
Makes sense.
Well, congrats. Yeah, absolutely. I had missed it on Google+. I didn't know that you did that. That's great. Well, fantastic. That was a fun feedback block.
was it, Jason?
It was fun. I'm trying to segue into the arena where we can, you know, start beating up some apps. So let's do that.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
All right. So last week, let's see here, episode 53, we had a nice little hodgepodge of apps and...
Jason won.
Yay.
I feel content. Yes. Switch Me did really well, 45%.
Kevin was our second place. Kevin.
Epistle.
Yeah.
The app with a funny name. Ron's Padmapper. Well, so Epistle came in at 21%. Padmapper came in at 19%.
Not that far behind, really.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Ron was like super close in the second place.
And I was dead last.
And Fragger. Oh. I think people were just upset that it wasn't Frogger.
So. Was that it? Dang it. I know that like, there's a Frogger app now.
You had some low-hanging fruit there, Eileen, and you went with Frogger instead of Frogger.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I had a feeling. I was like, oh, boy, he's not going to win this week. So I obviously go first. And I just wanted to thank our listener/viewer, Brian Emery, who says... who gave us this suggestion for the app that I'm going to do today. It is called FoxFee, and it's free in the in the Play Store. And he says he's been using it for a couple weeks with no problems on 4G with an unlimited plan from Verizon on a Droid Razr. What is FoxFee? FoxFee is a hotspot on your Android phone without rooting. And it should be noted that if you have a rooted phone like I do with the SGS2, it might not work. You can download the app, but this is an app that is tested for non-rooted phones. So most rooted phones probably won't work. This app won't work. And you've got many other apps to choose from if you've rooted your phone.
Sure.
That's probably one of the reasons why you have rooted your phone to Tether. But this is for the non-rooted phones. And luckily, I still have my review unit of the Samsung Galaxy S4G Blaze, which is going to be profiled on the next Before You Buy on Friday. Yep. I actually did like this phone quite a bit. Anyways, smaller phone, nice grippy.
Apparently, it's FoxFi.
FoxFi? It's not FoxFi.
Yeah,
FoxFi. Wi-Fi. Yeah. Oh,
I don't know.
God, I'm so lame. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, chat room. FoxFi. Okay. So literally when you download the app, just launch it. And you actually have Bluetooth mode as well that you can enable on your phone. But all you really need to do, and you could put a password code for your Wi-Fi hotspot or not. You can rename your Wi-Fi hotspot name or not. And all you do is click activate, and then you'll see the starting. I don't know if you can see that very well, Chad. It's starting, hotspot. Tethering or hotspot active, and
ooh,
boom. And it works. So it's funny because then I'll find it here on my settings on this phone.
Let's hope the carers don't find out about this because...
Yeah, that's what I wonder. You know, I'm kind of like, well, what's going to happen here?
So Get it now.
I'm on Twit production.
Download it now.
I'm just going to go...
Before they find out.
...to Android 52. Connect. And it takes a little bit of connecting, but obtaining the IP address. But technically, it works. And it only has worked on a non... rooted phone, and I've been able to use it with no issues. So there.
That's
yay,
very interesting.
Connected.
That's very interesting.
So
get it now before they wise up.
Yeah, I don't know. Because, you think they're going to get rid of this app? And the signal
I don't know.
On your phone strength, it's been pretty good, actually. And I've been able to use it on my,
Wi-Fi for my laptop.
Awesome. It's tethering just like you would normally expect. Now, there are some caveats. HTC users, SOL. If you have an HTC phone, you can only use the Bluetooth mode because a Wi-Fi hotspot lock exists in HTC Android that cannot be bypassed, and the developers are
truly sorry.
But
you can use Bluetooth dial-up.
Exactly.
Okay, not the best thing.
Okay. So sorry. HTC phone users, there are other phones that may not necessarily work. So Wi-Fi mode does not work on the Motorola Droid 1, Motorola Triumph. Samsung Admire, LG Revolution, and again, any HTC phone and rooted phones. So this is for the non-rooters out there that have been looking for Tether. I thought we had the email question earlier. I was like, oh, I wanted to tease you about this. And, you know, I haven't had any issues using it with the Samsung Galaxy Blaze 4G that's not rooted. So it's been working pretty darn well. And I don't know how many devices you can actually tether.
At one time.
At one time. I would think not more than the normal five or whatever.
Probably.
And they say when hotspot is activated, you may also see a hotspot notification of the built-in Wi-Fi hotspot feature. Please ignore it. As long as you do not sign up for a tether plan, you won't be charged. That's what they say. It's on the page themselves.
Try it out. Just be careful.
Try it out.
Don't go crazy. And then next month, see what your bill is.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just down. It's free anyway. So just download it. Try it out. Check your bill. Just be careful with all of that. But
that's
it's
very
cool.
Interesting. Yeah, it's cool. That is cool.
Fox.
Fi.
Fox Fi.
Nicole, Fox you are next.
All right, so I don't know if anyone knows, but it's baseball season right now.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it's baseball season.
It's not spring training anymore, right?
No, well, the season officially started with the A's versus the Mariners in Tokyo.
You know, I used to know this
stuff. That officially started.
That's football, right? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Different season.
Just kidding.
Different sport. Okay. Different ball. So baseball season has officially started, and I thought this is kind of like my favorite. It's one of my favorite apps, actually, is the At Bat app.
Okay, here we go.
And if you're into baseball, you should probably get this because it's cool. The only difference is that the difference between the light version and the paid version is like a lot. For the light version, all you get is just, okay, let me bring up my little list of handy list here. So for the light version, which is the free version, you get basically a bunch of like scoreboard, you know, live league scores, news and standings. So this basic page right here. You can set your favorite team. So my team is the Giants. You can just tap on it. And you can see, you know, the live scores. There's no game at the moment. For example, if you go to, like, Yankees versus Marlins, you can see, like, the live scores and,
So this actually works. Pitchers. It works live.
Right. It's when if the game is going on right now, you can see, like, what inning they're in, how many scores they've hit and all that. So it's all pretty basic. But you can also find out for a team schedules, tickets, roster, and player stats. So it's pretty good for a light version. But that's all you get for light. If you want to pay up, and it's a lot of money for the pro version, it's $15. So it's a little bit too much, I think. But that's the way MLB is. You know, they always charge a lot for these things. For the pro version, you get real time pitch tracking. You get basically this. I'm showing it on the screen right now. Get real time pitch tracking.
Ooh.
So you can see exactly where the ball landed. Like this is the first ball, fourth ball.
Wow.
You can see like exactly
is it a ball, is it a strike?
It's live to the second, and it's actually really good like live pitch tracking. You get box scores, play by play. You can listen to live radio broadcasts. I'm not really sure where they
on the free. You can.
This is the pro.
Oh, this is the pro.
The
now,
pro,
sorry.
You get like you know, you get all the bells and whistles. You can watch like little video highlights. You can listen to the. The live
the local radio
the
broadcast.
Local radio station. And oh, nice. You can listen to either the Phillies or the Yankees depending on what side you're on, depending on which radio station you prefer. So it's like you get a lot of it. You can watch in-game highlights, you can watch post-game condensed game videos. Every once in a while MLB has a live free game of the day. You can watch that game for free, quote unquote free, you know, $15 after you pay for the app. Mm-hmm. You can have like live look-ins. So there are, for example, there's a really cool news feature. I'm trying to get to the news page here. So there's a news. So there's all this news, for example, like, you know, the latest news of new team members, new signings, if you're interested in baseball news. Yeah. However, this is the little, you know, if let's say you have an existing MLB TV subscription, you already have a subscription to like, to, for example, if you have a Roku or any of those TV set-top boxes that have those MLB TV apps, you already have a subscription to that. what you can do is you can download the MLB TV at Light, MLB at Bat Light, the free version of the app. Sign in with your MLB TV login and password. Because you already paid for it, right?
Yeah.
You get all of these features for free. Included. You don't have to pay the $15 pro version.
Oh,
if you already have a MLB TV subscription, like you already have a subscription to the premium package, don't get the $15 one. Get the free one and put in your little credentials. Mm-hmm. You get all of the features without having to pay the $15 pro.
Well, that's good to know.
But that's if you already have the MLB TV subscription. One downside, and I think, you know, it's the downside if you have an Android phone. You can't get archive games. For the iOS system, you can't get archive games.
Oh,
so with Android, you can. Because I don't know why. Because they're weird.
They're always subject to blackout restrictions.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing you have to know is that if, let's say, you live in San Francisco and your team is the Giants, sometimes you can't watch local games because of the blackout restriction.
Yeah,
because
you can watch it on...
You can watch it on Comcast or wherever it is. But that's... You know, but let's say you live in San Francisco and your favorite team are the Phillies, then you can watch it whenever you want.
Also, on like Saturday, Fox Game of the Day.
Yeah.
Like everything is blacked out except for the Game of the Day.
Yeah. Ugh. So, I mean, I love the At-Bat app. I mean, I love baseball. This is definitely for the baseball fan.
Yeah.
If you're kind of a casual fan, get the free version. You just get live scoreboards and stats. If you're really into it, I would say get the... I almost say maybe $15 is worth it for the pro version, but if you already have a subscription, I kind of want to say that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And get the free version because you can use that subscription with any other device in your house. You can use it with your Roku, with your whatever set-top box you have, with your Samsung TV that has MLB app. Mm-hmm. And you can use it for all of those things. You know, you don't have to pay the app price.
Cool.
So that's what I think.
All right. Awesome.
There you go.
Tom uses MLB at
that,
right?
He uses that all the time. Yeah. He has that app every year. Ron's a big baseball guy, too. So you scooped his app. I bet he was going to try to do that.
It's on his list.
He loves baseball.
This week is the week to get it because regular season.
Yeah, and if you get it early, then you maximize the cost.
Yes, maximize the cost of it.
Break that down on a per game throughout the course of the season. You're paying pennies to the dollar.
Exactly.
Right.
Cool. Thanks,
so
Nicole.
That's MLB at-bat free as well as a $14.99 upgraded version of it. All right. Awesome. So I teased it a little bit earlier. I'm going to talk about Nova Launcher. Now, the Nova Launcher is an ice cream sandwich Android 4.0 and up launcher. And you have to have Ice Cream Sandwich in order to run this. All of those launchers that we talked about earlier are the same just because they have embedded features into them that require Ice Cream Sandwich. And one thing that I really like about Nova Launcher, and I haven't really used myself Apex or I've used Trebuchet a little bit, but Apex or Trebuchet as much as I've used Nova Launcher. But the thing I like about Nova Launcher is from the time that it was in beta and it was for free on the XDA to the time that it ended up in the market where they have a free version as well as a paid version that's $4, they really kind of solidified it to the point to where it's kind of indistinguishable to the stock ice cream sandwich launcher as far as performance is concerned, as far as how it looks and everything, if you set it at its kind of most basic level. So if you like the stock ice cream sandwich launcher experience, Nova Launcher is like taking that as the baseline and then adding more options to it. So it's not a matter of like replacing your stock launcher with something that's completely different. It's taking that and then adding more to it. So I see it as kind of a little bit different than just installing a launcher replacement. It's not a replacement. It's like adding features to what you're already used to. So first of all, the free version, I'll show you through the launcher, which, you know, it's not a whole lot different from the regular Android 4.0 launcher that I told you about. But the free version actually gives you a lot. It gives you a custom home screen, grid and search bar. I'm going to use a gesture, which is part of the pro version, but just because that will get me to my settings. So basically in the settings, you can set up, and I'm sure it'll swap here in a second. There we go. Thank you, Chad. Chad's awesome, by the way. So you have all controls over your layout. You can set a grid of whatever rows and columns you want. You can set those margins so that you can fit more on the screen. One thing I love is that you can decide to remove the persistent Google search bar. You can make it so that it only appears in certain instances, or that it isn't persistent at all, which allows you to do what I've done, which is move it to the bottom of the screen instead of at the top, because I like the bar, but I want to put something different up there. You can change the orientation, the order of all of your home screens as such. And if I wanted to add one, I could just hit that plus button and do so. And it'll take me back here. Go back to settings. Hold on. It's hard with this cord. There we go. You can do all of the things that you can do with like other launchers that you see on Gingerbread, like change through the different scroll effects, of which it has a lot. And a lot of these are actually relegated to the Prime version, which is the upgraded version. So you have a lot of different options. I actually like to keep it pretty standard to the stock experience, so I don't really have anything there. You know, your wallpaper scrolling, infinite scroll left or right, label icons if you want to hide those, all that kind of stuff is possible. You also have the ability to do things in your drawer. It has this option, which is widgets in drawer. It requires root permissions in order to do it, but what it allows you to do is continue... Let's see here, and you're going to have to swap Chad to follow me. But it allows you to continue to use this widgets tab in the way that you're used to doing it. So there really is no break in how you use this and apply widgets from here. If that isn't enabled, it actually gives you, I think, let's see here. No, I can't show it right now. But it gives you an overlay, which is kind of similar to what you saw in Gingerbread, where you'd get like a pop-up window. And you'd select it from the list. If it's not compatible with this, it does that. This Nova launcher actually allows you to keep it very standard to what the traditional ice cream sandwich launcher does. And so, you know, yet again, that's why I use it, because it keeps me kind of in that world. You can do things in your dock, of course. You can, you know, have different swipe actions on your dock. For example, I'll go to my desktop here and swipe up on the camera, and that'll take me to my shot control. If what I want is, you know, to use shot control as my camera, or if my default, you know, go-to camera is my camera, I can still have it there, which is kind of nice. That I believe, yes, dock swipe actions is a paid feature. So is the gesture control that I'm using when I do this to pull up settings. You can program all of those gestures in the pro version. The free version also allows you to do things like backup and restore. Of course, if you have a very complex setting, you can just back that up, and then if you flash new ROMs or whatever, easily restore those later. Let's see here. Resize all widgets. That comes in really handy, actually, if we go to the desktop here, because if you don't have that active, something like the power control widget, I have 5 columns, I believe, on my screen, so it would always come up like that. And if I didn't force that resize, I could do nothing but that. Mm-hmm. Forcing the resize actually works pretty flawlessly and allows you to do it to all these different types of apps or widgets that you have. So it's actually very, very handy. And it also has the ability to do some pretty cool things around. Sorry, Chad, you're having to chase me through this. But you're doing a great job. You can change. Let's see here. What is this? I'm trying to find folder icons here. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Its appearance. Is it that? Follow me here, because the settings can be hard to find. My apologies here. Show shadow. Dock icons. No, that's numbers. Okay, well, take my word for it. When you look at a folder and you see that it's a circle and it's got all the cascading icons, you can change that to be a number of things. You can change it to be a square and kind of have it pop up in the way that they do on iPhone, where they have the 4 app icons kind of like in a grid-like pattern or whatever.
Yeah. It's good.
Again, I like to keep it kind of traditional, but it has a lot of different options to do that. If you paid, as I said, you get gesture controls. You get the ability to hide apps, which I find infinitely awesome. Yeah. Even when you've got a stock experience, like when I flashed this ROM, there was the old music app in there, and I don't want to have to look at that. So I'm just going to hide that from view. And most of the time, hiding an app from view is good enough for me. I don't mind about the space that it's taking up necessarily, because I'm not using that. So, and actually, I used that last week when I showed you Switch Me and the Lucy profile, where it showed nothing but the kid apps. Right. When you go into the app drawer, I used the Nova launcher there to hide anything that wasn't Okay. You know, those those kids' apps. Dock swipe actions, and then, of course, additional scroll effects and some of the other flashy effects. So that is Nova Launcher. I thought it was totally worth the $4 for some of the extra bonus features. I will, though, say that if you're looking at these things, take a look at the other two that we talked about earlier, Apex Launcher and Trebuchet. Apex in particular is free. It's made by the developer of Beautiful Widgets, and a lot of the features that I'm talking about here and some of those that are in the paid version of Nova are actually free in Apex. So just check that out. I just want to be fair because they're pretty awesome as well. But that is Nova Launcher. I love it. Use it every day and I have no complaints. So.
Well, that's excellent. That. And that means that's the end of our arena.
Boom.
So, boom.
So, it's Fox Fi, right? At Bat, MLB At Bat, and Nova Launcher. All three can be voted on if you go to bit.ly/AAA54poll. bit.ly/AAA54poll. Fox Fi at an early lead. MLB go! At Bat, close second. Nova Launcher
fans sitting in the back. World.
If you vote for At Bat, you're voting for America.
Oh, dang.
That can either help or hurt you, Nicole.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. That could go either way.
Right. It is a great app.
The early returns are in, and it looks like it's a pretty close, close race here.
I know all the HTC people are like, nah, not going to vote for you.
Well, actually, when you think about it, each app kind of has a little bit of a... kind of restrictions, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of a disadvantage on each side. Maybe less so on the MLB, other than the price. But that's not really much because if you're
kind of depends
super
on
fan,
how
you're
hardcore
fine for
of a fan
that.
You
because,
are.
Because you know we've known about MLB at Bat.
Well,
to be fair,
the new version, the At Bat 12, has a lot more improvements than the previous year.
They normally upgrade it, so you know any gripes that people may have had in the 2011 season, they're like, come on, man, fix it for this.
Yeah, they better.
Yeah, you're paying a lot of money for it. And you're always paying to get the new app every year. You don't just buy it one
year. Well, that's why I like the free version. Because if you're a subscriber already.
Got it.
It's just like, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
cool. Sweet. All right. Well, it looks like this is going to be a close one. And I eagerly await finding out that I've lost. Because FoxFi is now pulling ahead.
FoxFi!
Good job on
that one. I feel like there needs to be like a fox face.
Yeah.
FoxFi. I mean, that's kind of fox. Like Firefox, I get. But I keep seeing a fox whenever
why
I say it.
Why is it called FoxFi? Is there a reason? Just because it's a fun animal?
Hey, developers for FoxFi. Let me know why you called it. They like fox.
They like foxes,
they're
I guess.
Foxy. Because they're foxy like that. I don't know.
All right, enough foxy talk. That is it for this week. Next week, we have another grab bag episode. We actually have a special guest, Tony Henides of Lazy Tech Guys, who I will say was the guy that sold me the Galaxy Nexus. And he was a fan of the show, and he worked at a Verizon store. He doesn't work there. He's doing Lazy Tech Guys full time.
Okay.
But he knows his stuff, and I was like, you know what? Just come on the show. He lives in the area, so he's going to be in the studio, so that should be pretty cool. Nicole, thank you for coming on the show yet again.
No problem. Welcome
always
back.
Love having
anytime,
you back.
Anytime.
And I will go ahead and tease. Looks like the LG Lucid I'm going to be doing for your show before you buy. Hopefully next week.
Is it lucid? Do you feel lucid holding that?
Lucid? Is it lucid?
It's a silent lucidity. Silent lucidity.
Oh, breaking news. What is breaking news? Anything? Here's Chad, do you see that? Are we just saying breaking news?
News.
Is it any news?
I don't know.
What is it?
Early returns are in and... ZDNet story saying Google and Oracle going to trial as settlement talks collapse.
Was that really
dun,
breaking?
Dun, dun. I don't know if it's breaking.
That was from earlier.
Yeah, that was from earlier.
Day.
That's not really breaking.
We decided
come on.
Not to talk about it on this show. You just wanted us to play that.
They just wanted us to not break the tradition of the breaking news at the very end of the show. Anyway, so getting back to you, Nicole, what would you like to promote?
Twit.tv/BYB. That is the place you go to watch before you buy. We can watch reviews of many, many Android phones.
All the stuff.
Like all the stuff.
One.
All the stuff
all
coming
stuff.
Up.
This stuff. These things.
Mm-hmm. All those phones.
And guess what I have
more stuff.
Later next week is the Pantech Element.
Mm-hmm. And then
dump it in a bucket.
Dump it in water.
Yeah.
You can like, I don't know what you're going
to
do
with
it.
That would be a fun review to record, I got to say. Haven't you always wanted to do that?
I'm going to have someone. It's too cold to swim. I was going to say because I have a pool and have someone, you know, use the
tablet. Go to the bottom and see.
Yeah. I think what we'll do is like, oh, it's time to take a bath, and then open it up. But then they see OMG Chad in the bathtub.
Why me? Why me?
That segment was made for you, Chad.
Can't wait for that. But,
right on. Yeah. That's twit.tv/BYB. And you are at Nicole?
Yep.
Yeah, awesome.
Me.
Right on.
All right. I am on Twitter at Eileen TV. And you can also find me about.me/EileenRose. I'm not even going to do the G+. Everything is there on the
About.me exactly.
page.
It's all contained there. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter and about.me/Jason Howell. And thank you for watching yet another episode of All About Android. You can send us your feedback and be a part of a future show. It doesn't have to be a feedback only episode. AAA@twit.tv is the email address. 347-SHOW-AAA. Is the phone number if you want to leave us a message. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, at Android Show. You can find all of our show notes at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. You should come by. It's a cozy chat room we have during the show. Anyways, thank you for tuning in for another episode of All About Android. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Once more.